I will say this, and I will also say good morning. It's been said, good morning, Locust Grove. It's good to be here, not only on a good morning, but on a good Sunday morning. What better place to be in a house of worship with a church family? But to everything that I've seen up to this point in this service, I would just say amen. What a beautiful service you folks have here, with or without me. It was just beautiful, and I like the things that have been spoken, the songs that have been sung. The worship was wonderful, and I just feel the genuineness and the sincerity of what's taking place here, and I'm glad to be a small part of that. God bless you for having me back. That is a blessing indeed. I do want to speak this morning out of a couple of the Psalms. I'm going to be starting in 103, and if you have a marker, you can take yourself also to 34, Psalm 34. But I just want to talk to you this morning about the blessings that we have as Christians. And sometimes we may or may not realize just how special we are in the eyes of our Savior. We think of Him as a holy God. We think of us as somewhat unholy, perhaps. But God's Word tells us that, yes, He is holy. And He calls us into holiness. And in fact, He calls us holy. And so as we think about the God that we serve and how I grew up with this notion that the God that I knew of was maybe more of a whack-a-mole God. As soon as I jumped up and did something wrong, I was going to get whacked over the head, and always trying to avoid getting whacked, but knowing I couldn't avoid it because I was a kid, and there was a lot of problems that I knew weren't godly. And so God raised me up from that, set my feet on the solid ground whenever I came to know Him as Lord and Savior the last month of my senior year in high school. And my life has not been the same since. I'm thankful for that. But I want to talk to you this morning out of Psalms, and I'd like to just start by reading out of Psalm 103. And I just want to read the first five verses and then go from there. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." I don't know about you, but that reminds me of a song. I've sung that many times. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Let's pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your loving kindness, your mercies that endure forever and are new every morning. Lord, as we look at your holy word, we see that you call us the apple of your eye. We are your special chosen people, and we're so thankful that you love us. You are a loving Father, not a condemning Father. And with your love comes many, many benefits. May we look to you for our leadership and guidance. May we bring glory to you along the way. And may all that is said and done in this sanctuary, this house of worship, may it bring glory and honor unto thee. It's in Jesus' precious name that I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you one and all. I would like to focus today on what's mentioned right here in this Psalm 103, and that is the benefits of walking by faith. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Let's not leave any out. With that as our foundation, let's please turn back to the 34th Psalm. The 34th Psalm. And I just want to talk to you this morning, share with you about some of the many blessings and benefits we have as believers in Christ Jesus when we walk by faith and not by sight, in the mighty and blessed name of Jesus Christ. Verse 1 of Psalm 34 says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Have you thought about that for a moment? Being a blessing to the Lord at all times. All times. That means in the good times and the bad, doesn't it? That means in the fierce winds like we had yesterday, the storms of life, and the good times. In the middle of anything and everything you are going to, God's Word says that you will bless the Lord. You'll bless the Lord at all times. You ever get frustrated? You ever get having trouble figuring out how you're supposed to go about fixing something? I know we got a fixer right here. You ever find frustration when you're trying to put things together that you know you can fix, but you're just not quite getting there? That's what a hammer's for. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Sometimes we just get frustrated, don't we? You know, in the middle of that, you're still a blessing to the Lord. And why would that be? Because God loves you just the way you are. God loves you for who you are. God knows your weaknesses. God knows your strengths. God's Word tells us back in 1 Samuel, I find this to be such an interesting verse. It was when the prophet Samuel was looking for one of the sons of Jesse because one of them was going to be anointed king. And Jesse had brought all his sons out, and Eli knew that God was going to present to him who the son was, and got through each one, and God didn't show Samuel anything. And so he says, "Is there a son missing? Who's not here?" And Jesse says, "Well, we've got just the little shepherd boy that just takes care of the flock." What'd Samuel say? "Go get him." He said, "In fact, I'm not moving from here until you go get him." And so they called up the one that didn't matter, David, brought him before Samuel, and Samuel immediately was revealed to God, from God to Samuel, that he was the one to be anointed. And what's the word say there? It says, God does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at your heart. God knows your heart. He knows who you are. And as believers in Christ Jesus, regardless of who you are, maybe sometimes with a hammer in your hand, in spite of who you are, God loves you. And God says you are a blessing at all times. Not some of the times, but at all times. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, holiness is spoken of throughout the Word of God. And as the Apostle Paul was in his time where he was testifying before Felix, you know what he said? He strives for holiness. He strives for holiness. What's that tell me? Well, it tells me, among other places in the Bible, that tells me that holiness is something that we need to work on. We need to work on holiness. Paul, the Apostle Paul, boy, we got him up on a pedestal, don't we? Boy, if you can embellish anybody and probably not really be embellishing, brother, it'd be the Apostle Paul. I mean, the guy set a pretty high bar, did he not? Absolutely he did. No, he's not Jesus, but boy, I can respect the man's ministry. Absolutely. And there the Apostle Paul, standing before Felix, giving a testimony of who he was and why he was being held by these chains that shouldn't have been holding him at all. He says, I have to strive for this. I have to work for it. You see, our ability to bless the Lord and our ability to praise continually with our mouth is something that does need to be worked on. I enjoyed the children's message this morning. He brought sports into it. It's a good example. They just played the World Series last night, right? I think it was last night. Those ball players that get to the top level, they don't get there by not practicing. They don't get there by not practicing, do they? It takes a lot of practice to get at the top of your game. And another thing, they don't get there without some coaching. It helps a lot to have a coach that understands and can look at you and see your weaknesses and strengths. Well, we as believers in Christ Jesus need to work on our faith every day. It's not something you just have. You've got to work at it. If the Apostle Paul had to strive, then I think I do too. And how about that coach? How about that coach? You talk to him about what it takes to do well. Don't we have the best coach ever in the Holy Spirit? Don't we have the ultimate coach? He's not only our comforter, But he's our teacher. He gives us insights into his word. He gives us insights when we pray. And he brings us together with people in a common fellowship like this that can help us in our faith. I can't tell you what a blessing. I've been here two Sunday mornings now. The first Sunday in October when we were transitioning to October, and now the first Sunday morning in November. Two different Sunday school teachers. And wow, if you're not coming to Sunday school, you're missing something here. That's a great hour of teaching. That's what I'm talking about when we need to be coached. We need to be working on this perfection of faith. You know, God's word clearly tells us that we are holy, but yet we need to strive for that holiness. And there are benefits in such. Verse 2, look at verse 2. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Everything that I have, everything that I am, is because of my Lord. It's because of Jesus Christ. I'm not the man I used to be. I know one particular brother in Christ that I've known for decades. And I didn't know him before he knew Jesus. I've only heard the stories. But he, when he got born again, he literally went to bed one day and woke up the next day a different person. I mean, when he got born again, it was an absolute change that has never changed. He's been consistent ever since I've known him. You know, I know a lot of believers in Christ Jesus, and they have their ups and downs and whatever. I mean, steady. The course is steady with this man. And it should be that way, shouldn't it? When we are born again, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We should act like new creatures. We should walk like new creatures. We should talk like new creatures because we have been born again. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. All that is due to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You would not have wanted to know me before I knew Jesus. Oh, I didn't look like a bad person, but boy, could I be ornery. I didn't really know that it was wrong to do some of the things I did. I just did them. And they were absolutely wrong. I was ornery to my little brother. I was ornery to anybody that came along that I decided I wanted to be ornery to. And sometimes I'd take it too far. Well, guess what? I don't have any desire to do those sort of things anymore. When I get ornery, it's only a little ornery, Scott. No, my point being, we are changed when we're born again, are we not? And we can attribute every bit of that to the cross of Calvary. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Is there not blessing in exalting the name of the Lord together? Is there not benefit in having a family, a church family? Once again, the benefits of this walk of faith are visual to us right here and right now. And I got to tell you, maybe this is just no meaning to any of you or not, but as I was coming here this morning, I was just looking at the church from a distance. You know the flat land we live in. You can see a long way off. I'm looking at the church, and I was compelled to pull my vehicle over and just take a couple of pictures of this beautiful place. I don't know about you, but talk about benefits. If this were what I called my church home, a country boy like me, I mean, it's just, you couldn't ask for more. Fields, corn, bean fields around, a country church, just the beauty of where you worship. You are blessed here. Scott mentioned it this morning. You are a blessed congregation. There are so many benefits. Just the fact that we're Americans living in the land of the free. It's still the land of the free, but they're trying to take it away, I know. But we are so blessed to just count your blessings, and you find out that you just can't count them all. They're just uncountable. I see blessing just in the facility you have here. And what do they say about real estate? Location, location, location. You've got a great location here. You are blessed. I want you to know that. I hope you appreciate that. Maybe you just don't have the country heart that I have. I don't know. But I'm just blessed to even look at this place and say, wow, what a place to call home. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. What a benefit. Do you know how many people that I have seen, people seeking them, and they just ignore them? Yeah. Yeah. You know, it really turns my stomach sometimes when I see people. I'll admit it. I spent a lot of time taking my kids and then eventually grandkids to ball games when we were younger. And it just would irk me when these ball players would walk by after the game and just totally ignore all those kids, just wanting at least a hello. You know, of course they all wanted an autograph, but just to acknowledge, no, one of them in particular, I won't mention him, but he portrayed himself as a Christian, and every time you'd see him come out where he was coming to a crowd, he'd grab his phone and just act like he's talking on the phone. Just, I'm too busy, I can't. That's disgusting. But you know what? I've got a God that every time I seek him, he's there. He hears me. He does not ignore me. He doesn't put me on hold. He doesn't pretend he's talking to Scott. No, he's there. He's there. He's a God that loves his children. I sought the Lord and he heard me. Have you thought about the benefits of a God that is always there? You know what my word says and your word? He says, not only is he always there, he never sleeps. He doesn't even slumber. Oh, I'm almost asleep, but I'm still awake. Yeah, no, he doesn't even have that slumber. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's there, as we like to say, 24/7. We have the benefit of a God that is always there, no matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through. He is there. We shouldn't overlook these things, should we? He's always there. And he delivered me from all my fears. If you're walking in fear, I got to tell you something. You're walking in a spirit that does not come from Christ Jesus. What's that God's word say? He's not the God of fear, but power and of love and of a sound mind. We don't have to fear. He's going to deliver you from fear, but you got to be willing to be delivered. We found out the last couple of years that fear really sells, doesn't it? Boy, it sells. And if you can get people to fear what you're telling them, they'll do anything you tell them to do. I don't know about you, but I saw the lie early. When they started out, I actually believed they were looking out for the community. And it wasn't, it was very early on. And here's what I found out, and this is what just totally changed my whole perspective. When I found out that churches were not essential, but abortion clinics were, then I knew right there that there was a lie being sold and told. And that all it was an act of fear. Fear is a great force. Fear is a great source of control. And boy, did I learn that it was all, and guess what? Now they're saying, well, you should forgive us because, yeah, a lot of that was just misinformation now, wasn't it? Things that we knew two plus years ago. Bottom line is, he will deliver you from fear. You do not need to let anyone control you out of fear because they will try. They absolutely will try. They looked, verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. I got to tell you, I hope you can get a hold of this. I don't care where I'm at. I don't care who I'm with. I don't care what the situation. I will declare to you today that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, and I will share that message anywhere I go. Amen. I am not ashamed. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Not just ashamed, but you know what? I don't ever talk too much about myself, but I hear this regularly. You just got Jesus all over you. This word radiate is important here. Do you have the radiating love of Jesus coming forth from you? It should come from within. I see it all the time in people. Not in all. In fact, I see some Christians that the last thing you think is they're a believer in Christ Jesus. Why, if they were drooping any further, they'd step on their lip. You know what I'm talking about. But for the most part, most Christians you see, they do look different because they've got the light of the Spirit of God in them and it radiates. What is God? He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Let his light shine forth. Let him radiate within you. They looked and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. May your face be a reflection of your heart. I have been told, and I heard this just only recently, but I think it might make sense. I've been told that by the time you're 40 years old, you will have a lot to do with how your face looks by that age. I believe that. Because if you've been walking around despondent and discouraged, it's going to show in your face. They looked and they were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 6, the poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. Do you know what I really, really like about this life in Christ Jesus? I'll tell you what I really like. I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. What's the wrong side of the tracks? Is that where the bad people live? No, it's where the poor people live. Well, I grew up on the wrong side of the tracks. I grew up in a family of 9, mom and dad and 7 kids. And the fact that there was 9 of us probably didn't help, but dad never made a lot of money. And I was looked at as one of those poor country kids. Well, guess what? The foot of the cross is level ground. There are no haves and have-nots in the Spirit of Christ Jesus. You can have all the wealth you want. That doesn't make you any better than the poor believer in Christ Jesus. Don't you love the equality of our faith? I do. I love it. The poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him. The Lord didn't say, oh, you're too poor. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to the guy over here that's got the big offering. Here's what's sad. And I will never name names, but I can point you right to a church not far from here. That, boy, if you don't have money in that church, you're nobody. It's real. It happens. There are churches where your financial status determines where you're going to be in that church. There's people in that church that you don't dare talk to if you're not in the upper echelon of that church. Simple as that. And guess what that church is? Small, little, struck, no. It's one of the biggest churches in the community. Don't ever get caught up in that, folks. The Lord loves everybody regardless of financial standing. He mentions the poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. Don't you worry if you're not able to keep up with the Joneses, because we're not here to keep up with the Joneses. We're here to walk by faith in Christ Jesus and live in the benefits and the blessings therein, because there are many. Verse 6 goes on to say, the poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. I want you to be honest with me. No show of hands, but is there anybody here that's not going through some sort of trouble? I don't think there probably is. Some bigger than others, no doubt. But you know what? God will save you out of your troubles. I keep reading in the Bible, and I'm reading right now. I'm reading the life of Joseph in Genesis. And this phrase just keeps getting repeated from the time he was sold by his brothers and cast into the pit until the time that he was second only to Pharaoh. There's a common phrase that keeps coming up repeatedly. You know what it says? And it came to pass. It came to pass. I don't know what it is you're going through, but it will pass, because it's there for a reason, and it will come to pass. Every struggle, everything I've ever gone through has given me something when it's past, something that has benefited me for the future. Struggles are not easy. No, I understand that, but they're oftentimes some of the most incredible learning blocks of our life, is what we've had to go through and struggle through. So don't be discouraged. Keep in mind that he saved him out of his troubles, and you will be saved from your troubles. The angel of the Lord, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Now, I just talked about fear. I'm talking about unfounded fear. There's a fear of God that is a reverent, respectful fear that we as believers should have. It's a respectful fear in knowing how awesome and powerful he is, knowing that if it weren't for him sending Jesus to the cross, none of us would have a chance. But because he sent him to the cross, we have every chance. We have more than chance. We have victory in Christ Jesus. But You got to see that the fear that's being spoken of here is a reverent, respectful fear. And God's word says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Never overlook the fact that God will give you wisdom. And it starts with having a respectful, reverent understanding or fear of who He is. He will deliver them. I love verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what that's really telling us there? The tasting and seeing, it's given as an illustration, I know, but there are times when you can have physical manifestations of the goodness of God. Absolutely. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I remember as I was teaching about God's creation years ago when I was in youth ministry, and one of the things I was teaching our youth group was that the perfection of this creation. You ever notice in the once you get past that autumn equinox, how that sun is always so far to the south? If you got to look south for anything, you're squinting almost, because it's never a high sun at that point. And I was pointing out to my youth group that there's 2 days a year that sun rises and sets directly on the center line of an east-west road. And that's the first day of spring and the first day of fall. And so one year I took the kids out to let them see that take place. And it was a sunset. And they none of them believed me at first, because here was the center line of the road. The sun's way over here. And they're like, it's not going to set over there. I said, you just be patient and watch. Because they thought the sun was going to set where it was at. But they don't understand that the sun was setting like this. And sure enough, when it got to the horizon, it came right to the center. You know what? I saw that and I had a physical manifestation. I could taste and see the goodness of God in that perfection of the sunset. Knowing that He has set everything in a perfect order, perfect rotation. And there's so many times that I can stand on this verse 8 and say that I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I don't want to discourage anybody, but when my dad died back in 2013, I never really understood a visitation. I really didn't. I mean, I got the concept. But I never really understood what a visitation was until it was my dad in the casket and people coming up and telling me their memories and their love for my father, people that I didn't even know. And at the end of that night, I knew that I had tasted and seen the goodness of God, because there was God working amongst His people to bring comfort and healing to my broken heart. God's goodness is so many places if we just allow Him to be seen. God's goodness can be seen in so many places. I could go on and on. The summertime, the wildflowers that grow unplanted on the Illinois roadsides. Do you not taste and see the beauty of God when you see those beautiful flowers? Oh, I get so upset when I see the state trucks coming along and mowing those beautiful flowers down. I know they're doing their job. But then the next year, there they are again. I can taste and see that the Lord is good when I see a sunrise or a sunset. Just a few nights ago before the full moon was coming on, and it was kind of the new moon cycle, step out every night before I go to bed and just spend a little time in prayer, and I look at the stars. And one night, I don't know what was going on, but I mean, that sky was just, it was almost like someone had taken the stars and turned their brightness up about 10 notches. I mean, it was just one of those nights where there must have been anything, you know, in the sky. And I just saw the beauty of God. And anytime I go out and look at the stars, I'm always reminded of what God told Abraham. Remember when God was telling Abraham how He was going to bless him? How many people were going to come from his body? And one of the things He says, come out, try to count the stars. And he couldn't do it. You ever tried to count the stars? You'll never do it. And I was there thinking about that blessing that God gave Abraham and looking at those, and I just, like, I'm tasting and seeing the goodness of God. And don't overlook the beauty that God shows us in nature and all around us with people. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. And I just want to get one thing real clear. When you see that word man, that is not speaking of a gender. That is speaking of mankind. Be aware of that. People will try to slam the Bible for all kinds of things that they don't know anything about. God's word is not biased towards men. Blessed is the man or woman, mankind. Blessed is the one, you could say. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Even that in and of itself, is that not a blessing? I'll tell you why that's such a blessing, because I do not need to fear my future. Not on this earth or from the time that I draw my last breath, because I'm trusting in him. Are you trusting in Jesus for everything, including your eternity? I think the most important question you will ever contemplate, the most important question you will ever be asked, I'm going to ask it right now. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Is it written? We should consider that. We should contemplate that. Because God's Word says you can know that your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have the assurance of His Word. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. You know, I truly believe that there is a Lamb's Book of Life. I believe it's there. And I believe that on the parchments where the names are written in, I believe they're written in red. Because I truly believe that our names, when we are born again, are written in the Lamb's Book of Life by the blood of Jesus Christ Himself. His blood covers us of our sins. And His blood not only covered us of our sins, but it gave us all the blessings and benefits that we have as believers in Christ Jesus. I want every one of you here to be walking in every benefit that you have. If you work for a company and they give you benefits, do you ignore the benefits? I would hope not. Oh, you get 3 weeks vacation. No, I'm going to ignore that. No, you take the benefit, don't you? We as believers in Christ Jesus should be hanging on to every benefit in this word and then living in it. Living in it by faith, walking by faith and not by sight. God is a Father that loves His children, and He wants us to receive His benefits. Trust me on that. His word says so. I wasn't going to go on, but let me just go on to verse 9. Oh, the fear. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want in those who fear Him. You know what that's talking about? Satisfaction. Satisfaction. There is no want. There is no need. There is nothing that you don't have that He has not already provided. What a blessing. No want to those who fear Him. And then verse 10. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Don't walk in lack when you serve an abundant, blessed God who wants to provide you with His benefits daily. Nobody here should be walking in spiritual lack, that's for sure. And you know what? It's not just spiritual. None of us should be walking in lack. When we as a body of believers are walking by faith in Christ Jesus, and I see a need for a brother or sister, and I can meet that need, what a blessing to be able to do that. What a blessing to be part of a church family that looks out for one another. Oh, the benefits. You have a church. You've got something special here. I'm not just saying that to build you up. I get to a lot of churches. You've got something very special here. Hang on to it. Keep feeding it. Keep doing what you're doing and continue to strive to do whatever God leads you to do. And I ask that each one of you thoroughly look through the benefits in the book and walk in those benefits. That's my message for your church today. Walk in the benefits of God. They're there for you. He loves His children. He wants you to walk in His benefits. God bless you, one and all.